I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. Would you eat beef that's been pumped with hormones to make it grow faster? If you're a meat eater, chances are you probably have. Given around 40% of cattle in Australia are treated with growth hormones, or HGP, to speed up weight gain. Australian regulators say it's safe and legal. In the EU and the UK, it's banned. But that could all change with a new free trade agreement being negotiated between Australia and the UK post-Brexit that could allow Australia's hormone-treated beef to be imported into the country. Today, the impacts of hormone-treated beef on humans, animals, and the environment. It's Tuesday, the 8th of June. So, Donna, what do Brexit and beef have to do with each other?
So with the UK leaving the EU, the UK now needs to sort out how it deals with the rest of the world when it comes to trade.
Donna Liu is a science writer at Guardian Australia.
Australia and the UK are now currently negotiating a new free trade arrangement, and one of the elements of it involves Australian meat being imported by the UK.
Before we go into that too much further, I wonder if we can get some simple definitions on what you just described, starting with what is a free trade agreement?
Sure. A policy of free trade means that goods and services travel across borders unhindered and at the price set by the producer without state support. The opposite is when governments discriminate against imports by imposing tariffs or quotas or complete bans in some cases. And this is what happens for a proportion of red meat from Australia that goes into the EU. Australian cattle that have been treated with compounds known as hormonal growth promoters are subject to an import ban. And now that the UK has left the EU, they're now figuring out what they want to do with respect to these imports of red meat.
We're not doing them in order to prove we can do trade deals or stand in front of British flags and shake people's hands. We're supposed to be doing deals that are to the advantage of this country.
So far, the UK government hasn't ruled out changing the deal. And at the moment, it looks like Australian farmers will have tariff-free access to the UK market and vice versa.
But we have to do a deal which is in the interest of our country. What's the point in doing one that isn't in the interest of our country?
But Prime Minister Boris Johnson maintains that he will back farmers.
Mr. Speaker, I will back Britain's farmers and Welsh farmers in exporting their fantastic lamb around the world.
And that this is a big opportunity for British farmers.
As well, Mr. Speaker, because I think he grossly underestimates their ability to do great things with our free trade deals, to export Scottish beef around the world, Mr. Speaker. Why doesn't he believe in what the people of Scotland can do, Mr. Speaker? Why is he so frightened of free trade? I think there's a massive opportunity for Scotland and for the whole of the UK, and he should seize it and be proud of it.
So I took a closer look at this issue and spoke to a few scientists and experts about the process of using hormonal growth promotants, or as they're often referred to, HGPs, and why exactly they're banned in some places overseas, but not in Australia.
So what is hormone-treated beef? How does this all actually work?
Hormone-treated beef is essentially something that's been happening in Australia for a long time. It's very common. An estimated 40% of cattle in the country are treated with these things called HGPs. And effectively, it reduces the time that it takes for the animal to eat and then reach a weight that is ready for slaughter.
So it's kind of like bulking up, but the end goal is shortening the lifespan of this animal so farmers can have quicker production.
Essentially, yeah, and it increases their profit margins because it's more efficient, I suppose, in terms of the amount of feed and time that is required for a particular animal.
How do we actually get the hormones in the animals? I'm imagining a terrifying scenario of many needles at the moment.
Not quite that macabre. So treated animals have a small implant inserted at the back of their ear, and it contains a combination of estrogen and androgen steroid hormones. They can either be natural or synthetic. So common synthetic hormones include something like trenbolone acetate, which is an androgen, and estradiol benzoate, which mimics natural estrogens.
I mean, I remember reading the book Eating Animals by Jonathan Safran Foer at university and not being able to eat chicken for a little while there because of what the description of what this does to an animal physically when you're adding a whole bunch of extra chemicals and things to this process. Do we know what this looks like and what this feels like for an animal to go through this treatment?
So as to how it feels for an animal, the RSPC actually says there's not much research on this, actually. They say that little is known about the animal welfare effects of HGPs in cattle because the research tends to focus on production or performance characteristics rather than animal welfare directly. Mm. It's certainly a valid point to raise, and I must say I was in the same boat as you after reading Eating Animals. I didn't eat meat for quite a while.
Yeah, just imagining these very veiny cows right now. Do we know whether this is safe, this hormone treatment on animals, especially for humans consuming this meat?
The amount of hormone that ends up as residues in the meat that we consume is extremely low, which is good. It's been approved in Australia, these HGPs, for more than 4 decades. So far, so good. One scientist told me that the hormones that we get from eating meat is about 1,000 times lower than what we would produce in our own bodies. And he said that as a human health issue, it really doesn't seem to be much of a concern. Someone else told me that all beef has small amounts of hormones in it. So it's important to, I guess, keep in mind, and this is regardless of whether the meat has been treated with hormone implants or not.
Natural hormones, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's often overlooked in discussions about the safety of using HGPs, whether they're synthetic or natural, is that our diets also typically contain many other sources of hormones. So, for example, one researcher told me as an analogy, you will get more estrogen out of eating an egg than you will get out of 10 kilograms of beef that has been treated with a steroid implant, which is, I think, a comforting fact.
Right. So there's lots of types of hormones that we take in every day, and this doesn't really add too much in the mix when it all shakes out.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, I guess, is that because we have quite a lot of sources of hormones in our diet, something that we don't often think about is that there's lots of estrogen, for example, in soy milk. Even certain vegetables contain hormones. So things like cabbage and corn contain something called phytoestrogens. So these are plant estrogens, and they bind to the same hormone receptors in our bodies. But they're not so much of a concern.
So hormones are kind of everywhere, but do we know that the amount that we're getting from meat is fairly safe?
Well, essentially in Australia, there are safe limits that are set by the Australian Pesticides and Veterinary Medicines Authority. So that's a government body that is tasked with assessing and registering chemicals used in agriculture. And they set what are known as maximum residue limits in meat. So basically a threshold under which it's safe, that the amounts of these HGPs are safe. But having said that, in other countries, their regulatory authorities have taken a different stance. So in places like Europe, for example, HGPs are banned in agricultural production.
Can you tell me about that? When were they banned and why?
So the use of HGPs has been banned in the European Union since 1989. And this is also being incorporated into UK law as part of Brexit, as part of the EU Withdrawal Act. The ban there in 1989 was likely influenced by historical community concerns about a compound known as diethylstilbestrol, or DES for short. And DES is this potent synthetic estrogen, and it disrupts the endocrine system, and it's actually been linked to some cancers.
That does sound a little alarming. Is there any evidence that you say it's linked to cancers? Do we know if these hormones have directly made anyone sick?
Right. So DES is quite dangerous in high doses. It was introduced in 1939 and prescribed initially to pregnant women in the belief that it would prevent miscarriages and premature labour. But research subsequently then showed that it didn't actually work. And then in 1971, scientists linked exposure to DES while a woman is pregnant to a type of cancer of the cervix and vagina called clear cell adenocarcinoma. And what ended up happening is that daughters of women who had been prescribed DES while pregnant were then 40 times more likely to go on to develop this cancer.
Ooh, horrifying.
It's terrible. And, you know, it took a while for it to eventually stop being prescribed. Mm. Women in Europe were prescribed this drug until 1978.
Wow.
And DES then was also detected in meat residues in Europe in the 70s and 80s. And understandably, it sparked a lot of public anger. Even though it was detected at trace levels, it was still quite concerning to the public.
How did this actually get into the meat? Was it being used by the farmers as a HGP?
It was definitely used in the US until the 70s to fatten up cattle and chicken. But in Europe, the link is less clear. There was a suspected case of DES being found in veal-based baby foods in Italy. So it is possible that it was also being used there illegally in agriculture. But what we do know is that it has led to a lot of fear and heightened awareness about the effects of hormones in meat.
Do we know if DES was used in Australia at any point as well?
It was. It was prescribed in Australia in the late 40s and 50s, less so in the following decades, particularly after that 1971 study, although there are still some cases of it being prescribed to pregnant women beyond 1971.
You mentioned that we have this regulatory framework in Australia to approve the hormones that are used in our meat production. How thorough is that process?
So nowadays, the process is highly regulated. A researcher I spoke to at Charles Sturt University, he spoke to us in a personal capacity, David Hopkins, he said that every HGP that is now used in animal production undergoes exhaustive testing before it's launched to the market. Mm. And he told me that the ban in the EU and UK, in his view, is not based on science, but rather on perceptions and marketing. And in fact, in 1996, the US opposed the EU's ban on HGPs, and they opposed the ban on grounds of a lack of scientific evidence for health risks associated with them. Mm. The Americans then took the dispute to the World Trade Organization, who actually ruled in their favor.
Next, are growth hormones damaging our environment? So it could be that some of this is a bit of alarmism. Has this happened in Australia? I mean, how does the industry view hormones in meat in Australia?
Interestingly, Coles here in Australia actually moved away from using hormonal growth promotants in their own brand beef products back in 2011. And at the time, the beef industry groups were appalled. Meat and Livestock Australia, which acts on behalf of about 47,000 meat producers, said that Coles' marketing strategy could frighten consumers into thinking that cattle treated with these HGPs are unsafe, despite years of scientific research that suggests it doesn't pose much of a risk. Mm. But Coles is continuing to do that. On their website right now, it says that they're committed towards working towards a sustainable future that supports local farmers and producers while also looking after the welfare of animals. And they say, we source fresh beef with no added hormones.
Right. So the meat industry feels that this move by Coles is essentially scaremongering around the health risks that eating HGP meat could bring. But Coles doesn't actually mention health risks on their website, right? It mentions, among other things, its impact on the welfare of animals, which, as we know, is really under research. I'm wondering how much this issue of animal welfare factors into the opposition to HGP meat in Australia.
Judging by how Coles frames this issue, a lot. On their website, they actually outline this a bit further and say, by not adding hormones, the cattle grow and mature naturally. And I think there's this real demand for ethically sourced meat in Australia.
Are there any other strong arguments for or against using HGPs in Australia?
Many farmers in Australia are quite economically reliant on HGPs because they improve the efficiency of meat production. Most estimates put it around 15%. Mm-hmm. And this kind of varies. Sometimes it's even more than that. I guess it's not all self-interest, though, because HGPs can have some environmental benefits.
That surprises me. I don't think of, you know, adding hormones to meat as something that could help the environment.
Well, there's good news and bad news, as there always is with this kind of thing. The bad news, I guess, is that synthetic compounds are quite slow to break down. So synthetic HGPs can pass through an animal's digestive and urinary systems and into the surrounding environment. And Dr. Mike Williams at the CSIRO told me that if these compounds are released at a high enough concentration and then organisms in the environment are exposed to them, that can have effects, particularly on things like their reproduction.
Mm.
So that's thinking specifically about animals like fish, which we know in a lot of lab studies at least, that HGPs seem to have an effect on. The other thing about these synthetic compounds, because they last a long time, the half-life can be as long as 200 days. So the wastewater runoff from feedlots can have potentially problematic flow-on effects if they're not properly managed. But on the other hand, I mentioned there was good news and bad news. The good news is that because HGPs can get cows to market faster, it means that for each particular animal, the cow spends less time in the environment, which means that there's less nutrient runoff and also less greenhouse gas emissions because cows produce a lot of methane.
This is the cow farts thing. Famously, cows farting is bad for the environment.
Yes, exactly. So if you can minimize the amount of farts they're doing, then that works out in better in the long run.
So that's a bit of a tricky balance there, you know, reducing the impact that a cow can have on the environment, you know, the impact that it has on the landscape and also on emissions, but also weighing that up against chemicals maybe being spread in that environment as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the other factor in all of this is that as the global population increases, so too is the demand for meat. So one of the researchers I spoke to mentioned that things like HGPs end up being a quite important tool when we think about how we're going to feed the world animal protein because it makes the process more efficient.
Donna, you mentioned that the UK seems to have left the door open to importing Australia's hormone-treated beef. Can you tell me a bit more about how that's being received and what the process is going forward?
There's been quite a few reports of farmers in the UK being quite upset about it. They're furious about the proposed deal because Australian farmers can potentially produce beef at a lower cost, which would then undercut farmers in the UK. And both sides now, the UK and Australia, are trying to get a deal finalised by June when the G summit will be held in Cornwall. And that summit's actually kicking off later this week.
Okay, so it's possible in the next few months we'll see Australia's HGP meat imported to the UK. And as you've just mentioned, the world could become more reliant on this type of meat production going forward as we try and reduce our impact on the environment. After everything that you've told me in this episode, does that seem like a positive thing, moving towards HGP meat more and more?
Look, as far as we know, it seems like experts can be fairly confident that this is safe for human consumption. I guess we could do with more research regarding the impact of HGPs on the welfare of animals. As to whether a broader push towards using HGPs in meat worldwide will have a net positive or negative impact on the environment is still unclear. So we'll have to wait and see.
That's it for today. Thanks to Donna Liu for her time. Donna has just joined Guardian Australia as a science writer, so you will be hearing more from her on Full Story soon. But do go check out her work, including her piece on hormone-treated meat at theguardian.com. We'll put a link to it on the Full Story page as well. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. This episode was produced by Ellen Lee Beta and Joe Koning. The senior producer and presenter of Full Story is myself, Laura Murphy Oates. The executive producers are Gabrielle Jackson and Miles Martignoni. Okay, catch you tomorrow.